Good morning and welcome to each of you. It's exciting to be here. It's our new week. It's our new term. It's the first day, and I, for one, am very excited to be here. Thank you, Sean, for leading those songs. It was quite a theme for the morning, maybe for the week. And follow along with those words. It's good stuff. So we greet you in Jesus' name, and we want to honor him this morning. We want to glorify him this morning, and I'm thankful to be here. So normally we go over more rules and regulations during this time, but this morning I want to leave most of that for the Bible reading and prayer time. So we're going to look at a little bit this morning, a subject of commitment. Sometimes we have a theme at Bible school, maybe like a theme song, and we sing it every morning, but the theme that I would like to have this term is respect and trust. So process those words for a minute. Respect for God. Respect for the staff. Respect for each other. And respect for Bible school policy. And then trust. What is trust? What comes to your mind when you think of trust? And I found the definition fascinating this morning. I've probably read it before. But it is an assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something, one in which confidence is placed. And that, I want to be the theme for our term, is respect and trust. So commitment, as we think about those two words, I want to think a little bit about commitment for a text. You can turn to Luke chapter 14. Many of you probably have heard of James Calvert. He was a missionary to the cannibals of the Fiji Islands. And I'm assuming you know what a cannibal is. I'm not going to go into detail. But when him and his fellow missionaries landed there, the captain of the ship had some disturbing words for them. He said with passion, he said, if you don't turn and go back, you will die. Calvert, after a moment, said, we died before we came here. Friends, this morning, that is commitment. What does my commitment look like? Calvert Robert says, character is the ability to carry out a good resolution long after the excitement of the moment has passed. Honoring your commitments is part of your character. It is a quality that attracts people to you and enhances your relationships and opportunities. How is your commitment? How is my commitment? Further definition of commitment is to deliver or to entrust something to a person. So what does the Bible say about commitment? Luke chapter 14, we're going to begin in verse number 25. Luke chapter 14, verse number 25, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. We're going to stop reading there. This does not mean this morning that we hate our families or we don't value relationship. This means that our love for God must be first. And as you ponder that thought, and for myself, I have a wonderful wife that some of you have met, maybe most of you. We've been married for almost 15 years. And I have two wonderful children that are very, very dear to my heart. But my love for God must surpass my love for them. It must surpass my personal wants and desires. Everything must come after God. Now turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We have some interesting thoughts here. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Packed in these two verses is a commitment to love our Lord, to love our God. And it talks of our heart, of our soul, our will, our emotions, our life, our physical being. And you know, we say, how can I do this? God would not ask us to love Him to this extent if it was not possible. Have you ever thought about that? Total commitment is to love our Lord more than personal relationships. That is what it's saying here in our text. John chapter 14. We have a little more direction on this. John chapter 14 and verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The words of Jesus here. He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Do you see commitment coming through here? The disciples had a test. Acts chapter 4. When it come to their commitment, Acts chapter 4 and verse 18 and 19. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. That is something that you each individually have to do this morning and in life, is to make that decision, following God or following man. Persecution is happening right now. We heard of it already, and we'll probably hear more as we go into mission conference this weekend. Christians are dying for their belief. Am I committed? And D. Wayne is teaching a class on non-resistance, and I'm sure you'll have many opportunities to ponder life. But as I think about my family, I mentioned my wife and my children. What is my commitment should something happen to them? Do I have a testimony as James Calvert that I died before we got here? Moving on here, Luke chapter 14, back in verse 27 now. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. As we think about bearing the cross of Christ and what that means in commitment, what that looks like in shoe leather, bearing a cross is not wearing it around your neck. It's not having it as a sticker on a notebook. It's not just a temporary inconvenience. I don't have the name here, but a Bible scholar said, this parable represents the absurdity of those who undertook to be the disciples of Christ without considering what difficulties they were to meet with and what strength they had to enable them to go through with the undertaking. He that will be a true disciple of Jesus Christ shall require no less than the mighty power of God to support him, as both hell and earth will unite to destroy him. Think about commitment. and taking up and bearing the cross of Christ. Verse number 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. As you think about bearing the cross, you think about being committed to Christ fully, I believe forsaking all probably keeps most of us from truly being committed. It's hard to let go of what we hold dear. I would like to go back now to verse number 16 of Luke chapter 14 and read a story. Luke 14, verse 16, and he, Jesus, said unto him, and then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Am I committed to forsake all legitimate things for Christ? Can I say yes that I want to be at this supper? Friends, this morning may we never hear those final words that none of you will be invited. None of you will be allowed to come and taste of my supper. What a tragedy. But think about commitment in stuff, in things. When we loaded up our rig and headed out here to Bible school, we left behind a house that was just dried in. We've been living in a camper for about a year and 9 months, and I don't have to go into detail to tell you this morning that it's getting smaller every day. We left our house, and we come to Bible school. And I told some of the staff, if you see me staring off in space, I'm trying to consider where to put electrical outlets and who's going to do the insulation. So bear with me on that. But the thought of leaving legitimate things for God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I can't see that clock down there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that in warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Thou, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Total commitment is a decision of our will. It is a personal decision to forsake all that we have. In Luke 18, we have a testimony that I trust each of us can have this morning. Luke chapter 18. In verse 28, then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all to follow thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake," verse 30, "who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." Think about that, friends, this morning. No man that have forsaken all, that has left all, for God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. That is commitment. That is what you and I are striving for. And I want to back up a little bit and read a few verses about cross-bearing. 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 31, "I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily." This is something we have to pick up each morning with renewed courage and strength to put God first and myself last. Luke 9:23. We'll look at a lot of scripture. You don't have to look at them all if you don't fill up to it. But Luke 9 and verse 23. "And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You have probably read some of these verses since you was in first grade. But do you understand what it means to take up the cross of Christ daily and follow him? It takes commitment. It takes intention. It takes accountability. Matthew chapter 10, in verse 39, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Lose my life for the sake of Christ, to find life. What is it that keeps me from following Christ, from being fully committed? And you can make a mental list in your head. I have a list, and I'll be a little vulnerable and a little open here. What keeps me from being committed? The one I have at the top of the list is pride. I struggle with pride. I want to be liked. I want to be respected. I want to be somebody. Pride. It could be possessions. I have some possessions. It could be priorities. It could be obligations. Some of you hopefully don't have a lot of obligations in the line of debt. But what is it that keeps me from crossing that threshold of total commitment? We read in Luke 14, and I want to just go back and reflect on that. Luke 14 and verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? When we think of commitment to God, commitment to the church, commitment to each other, what will it take for you and I to be faithful? And as we consider those we know who have left the faith, it is a reality this morning that I could turn back, that I could fall away. Am I committed? Have I counted the cost? As you think about your life this morning, as you think about where you're at with God, are you committed? As I ponder my life, am I committed? We have it so easy. None of us know what it's like, at least that I know of, to suffer for our faith. Am I committed? Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for loving us, for caring about us. We thank you for this new day. We thank you for this new term. We thank you for the privilege of being a part of your family. We thank you for salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you, Lord, that we can each walk in newness of life. And Lord, I bring this class to you today. Each one that is sitting here this morning is a soul that you know and that you love. Lord, bless us with a commitment today and on through life. As we consider our walk with you, as we consider who we are, as we consider the cost and the price of our redemption, thank you for your love to us even while we were yet sinners. Lord, we bring the teachers to you this morning as they stand before their classes for the first time and as they present with excitement and enthusiasm what they have to share, what they have to teach, and their personal experience. Bless them with your peace. Bless them with your spirit. We pray for each and every part of this Bible school. We pray for those who are at home. We pray for the families of each of these young people. May you bless them today and this week with health and safety according to thy will. Thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for this privilege of being here today. In Jesus' name, amen.